Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free today. I ain't going to curse.
Jump into it. I'll introduce myself, Joseph Corr from Stats Perform Media and other outlets. Stats Perform, by the way, does the betting stuff for the NBL. They signed a big contract. Not my division, but anyway. And I'm joined by...
I'm Andrew Kenyon, and I'm a NBL mega fan for many, many years. And I love doing this podcast. I missed it last week. I had to listen to you from afar and thinking, just not the same, not being in front of the mic.
And you were away wrapping presents. If you had to rate your present wrapping skills on a scale of 1 to 10, or 0 to 10, 0 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, where would you see yourself, Andrew?
I'm in the twilight of my career, I think. I feel like my skills peaked a few years ago and now I'm fading away. So I would say I'm about a 3 out of 10 these days. Wow. It's just get the paper around it. Just get the sticky tape on any way you can. And it doesn't need to look pretty anymore. I used to worry about corners and, you know, making it look nice. Bah. Especially when you're rapping for kids. They don't care anyway.
Nah, they're going to tear it apart. I think I'm going to curse here, but I would say I'm shit at wrapping presents, but that would be an insult to shit everywhere. I can't do it. I'm either too short. Like, I've done the thing where you fold it over. Let's say you're wrapping a crossword or a puzzle, whatever, you fold it over and then you've got that short corridor in the middle where you haven't got enough paper. I've just cut out another piece and just stuck it on and stapled that and stuck that on. A terrible, terrible judge of measurement by eye.
Because you don't want to go too long because then you're just wasting it and it gets unwieldy as you try and wrap it around.
That's people out there, they know the struggle. But we're talking NBL. On this podcast, we're going to be talking about the NBL Cup, this Kings staff versus the Perth Wildcats thing on Twitter. I think this is worth talking about. We kind of debated whether to talk about it, but we think it's important. Xavier Cooks' injury. And then we're going to talk about retired jerseys, jerseys that are retired by clubs and the jerseys of players that aren't retired and probably could or should be.
And I think that would be an opportunity for listener feedback. Because no doubt our research will be somewhat limited. Yep. It'd be nice to hear from the fans.
I was going to say limp then. I thought limp was a pretty good descriptor. I mean, we've poked it through it. To jump ahead, I've just looked at the MVPs and saw who doesn't have a home. That's what I did, the crux of my research.
Yeah, yep. No, but I'm keeping on pushing on for listener feedback. I'm still waiting for that phone of yours to ring. You know, what's that number?
Oh, you do this and I'm so embarrassed.
I push it every time and I'm still waiting for it to ring. Come on, somebody.
I don't even have it off by heart. It has rung in the past and I've missed it. It was probably a telemarketer, but now you've got me. Now I'm going to go to the website. I'm going to go to my Twitter and read out.
Yeah, it's right there, people. Like, it's a number. Dial
it. Okay, here it is. You can 0499-396-818. Give it a call. I will pick up. It'll be a bit jilted and embarrassing, but yeah, let's have the chats. Why not? Especially if you're lonely at Christmas. Now I'm going to be jumping around because my notes are on. I've got them on a piece of paper. I've got them on my mobile. So if you hear me rustling a little bit, you know why. But let's start with the cup.
Let's do it.
Your response when you saw, like, good idea, bad idea. What do you think?
I went into a sort of a fugue state of thinking, oh, is it good? Is it bad? I could see the pros and cons of either. I didn't know what to really make of it. I had to get over my initial gut reaction of, that's weird, and then thinking, well, maybe it's good, but then there's money on the line. Who gets that money? You know, there are a lot of questions. Overall, I think I'm coming to a point where I think it's a pretty interesting, cool idea, and I think this is the season to try cool ideas. Now, look, and I know that there's heaps of arguments about, well, you know, Victoria, it's in Victoria, and that's an advantage and all
Let's start with that.
We
can start with that.
That's the elephant in the room.
I think when I did, it was, I'm not going to lie, it was deflating when I saw it first up. Not the idea, but when I saw, it's going to be in Melbourne, I was like, okay. Like, you have to have it somewhere. Let's be honest with ourselves. I think Melbourne is probably the best spot for it. It's got really nice stadiums. They're in the center of town. You couldn't have it here in Sydney. The stadium's out in West Sydney. It's just disjointed. And Sydney sports fans are some of the worst in the country, if not the planet. Perth should be a little bit hard done by. I think they would have been that RAC arena because they're probably only going to do it in the one spot. Am I right?
Yeah. I think so. I think they're going to use it all out of the what's it called? It used to be called Melbourne Arena High Sands. Now it's John Cain, I think, tennis.
Yeah.
Not tennis player. He was a former premier, wasn't he?
I thought I had a joke there. I thought it was Cain. I was going to do a James Cain thing. No, lost it. Gone. Unless it was Michael Caine's brother. Imagine if Michael Cain had a ribbon cut. Welcome to the NBL Cup.
Let's get it on.
You're only supposed to play. Anyway, Perth should be a little hard done by. It could have been fun there, but Melbourne, are we surprised? It was always
no. Look, I take a lot of my life lessons from a short list of television shows, and the show that popped into mind on this one was The Wire. And in The Wire, they make it very clear that you always follow the money. So in this instance, follow the money. The government kicked in. It's lower costs for the NBL. You've got a couple of teams already there.
When New Zealand were hub there, it was like, well, they're going to do a cup. You know, it's just and you take your cues from The Wire. I take my cues from nature. And in particular, don't do what a certain animal does. Don't be the salmon. Don't swim upstream. Your life would be a lot easier if you just go with the flow. Just go downriver. You'll love it. Trust me. There's nothing up there anyway. I want to look at the money on this thing. What you were talked about, follow the money. $300,000 total prize money. So the number one, the winner gets $150,000. Second place gets $100,000, and then third place gets $50,000. I would have made that like $200,000. $25,000, and then every other team gets. I wouldn't have done it. That's 150 for the winner. $50,000 difference between first and second. Nah, that doesn't seem right to me. But that's an interesting amount. So there's going to be 36 games. So when we talk about the Victorian government chipping into this thing, they've obviously, I think, and this is based off just my own thought, they've obviously supplied the venue for free, you would think.
Yep.
Or paid the rents on it or whatever.
Yep.
Looks like they're going to have 50 to 75% of that stadium available. My question is, how big is that stadium? Do you know how many seats that is?
I think it's about 10,000. Thereabouts.
So three quarters of that is 7,500. That's a sellout. So we've got 30K on the line, which the NBL is putting up. That's their money for 36 games. So the NBL is basically paying about what, $8,500 per game with the prize money, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you think about that, you're like, ooh, $8,500. That's cheap to, what is essentially pay these players or pay your talent to be there.
Yeah.
And the stadium holds, 7,500 each at $50 a ticket, let's say, or is it already the maths are making sense?
You got to put up the teams though. I mean, you got to put up teams.
Yes, this is my question. Who is paying to put up these teams and where? And who's going to do security at the hotels? So there's an interesting thing where what's going on there? What is Vic government paying for? What is the NBL paying for? But I think even on paper, it kind of sounds like a pretty good idea.
But with the prize money, who gets that? Okay, so club. Is that the club or do the players get it? These players took pay cuts and then there's cash on the line. Now, I assume the winnings goes to the club, but will the club enter into an arrangement with its players?
This is interesting. Will it all go to the players? Will there be some sort of a split? Like, is a deal made before they go into it? You would think, I would think it would all go to the players.
And then if there's gate, this is the other question, if there's gate revenue, who gets the gate? I assume it's the NBL. But then you would think that the Melbourne teams will draw more heavily. So the Melbourne teams will sell more tickets now, but are they just going to say, look, we sold,
in the kitty, everyone gets,
we sold 100,000 tickets or whatever. We're just going to divide that by the 9 teams that we've got and everybody gets the same.
Or are they going to go game by game? No, they couldn't. That would be unfair if they did it based on sales to individual games.
Sure. You'd think so. Cause I mean, who's going to show up to see like Cairns versus Adelaide or something,
Cairns versus Illawarra, yeah.
It's not going to be the big draw. So, I don't know. That's all business. And I guess they take the view that, well, we the punters don't need to know that stuff. But, hey, we're curious punters and I'd like to know how it all works.
The big question is, and also I do like the idea of it just being do or die. There's 300K on the line. Winner gets 150, second place gets 100, 50 to third place, and the rest of you can just go and sit and rotate, you know what I mean? And yep. I think that would be kind of cool. Yeah, this will be interesting to see where the money goes.
And if the money's just going to the club, well, the players aren't. I mean, the players will give what they always give, right? Mm. But I like the idea of like we saw with the TBT, you know?
I was about to say, this cash is the line. This is the TVT Cup. This is great. My one regret is, and you know what I'm going to say.
This is all about the Elam ending now, isn't it?
This was the perfect chance.
What Why a missed not? Opportunity.
Yeah, it does feel – I hate to – because I think this thing is 9.5 out of 10 great. It's tournaments, mid-season, it's 36 games. It's games every night. It's just fun. It's do or die. But you had the chance to wet your beak in that. And
yeah.
40-minute game. And I heard an interview with Mark Cuban and Bill Simmons the other day,
right?
Which Mark Cuban was like, all of our stats show that the quicker a game goes, the less game time there is, the more popular it is, the more TV ratings.
Yep.
The Elam reinforces that. So he was talking about taking NBA games from 12 down to 10, which I don't know about that, but the Elam again speeds up the game.
Yeah. And it doesn't sacrifice the ending. So there's, I heard Loliger saying on NBL Overtime that it was an in-season tournament, so they needed to respect the rules of the season. But I say, don't worry about it. You still get the same results. You just get them done more efficiently, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I've never understood that where people say that, oh, the Elam ending sort of destroys the ending of a normal basketball game. It goes against the grain. I'm like, how is making a shot to win the game any different from shooting 8 free throws for minutes.
And you're trying to sell lots of tickets to lots of games in a short period of time. You want each game to be exciting.
Control. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to know that if I take my 4-year-old kid to see it, you know, or whatever, how old he is, my kid's actually 9, but I was trying to be hypothetical. You just you want the kid to just know that they're going to see something exciting. Like, yeah, it's not your team. We're not going to see Melbourne.
Good point. You know, it's not your team.
It's going to be fun. It's going to have a really exciting ending.
If you can't care about who wins in the end, you can care about the ending itself.
Yep.
The Elam.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Is it too late for us to do a petition or something? Can we do a change.org?
Well, I don't think so. When does the cup actually kick off? It's after these 5 rounds. So the rounds start in what, Jan? So you would assume it's sort of early Feb. I didn't look at the dates.
Yeah, I didn't either. Look at that. I was doing our research. No, I didn't either, but you know. Sorry. It's round 6 onwards.
This thing has sprung up out of nowhere. The other thing is you get points for quarters. Do you see that? So the winners of each quarter get a point that counts towards winning this tournament.
Is that a count back in case of a tie?
I don't know. I think in a way, but I think I reached out to Nick Johnson and NBL, said, well, what's the deal with the quarters? That's kind of interesting.
Sorry, cut you off.
You go.
No, I was just going to say, I thought that was a blitz sort of thing they did last year.
Did they? Maybe. I didn't notice, but he just said, yeah, it's just another thing to sort of talk about in the broadcast. Another way of stat keeping. Just another little thing added on. I thought, okay, yeah, I'll hang on to it. What do you think about this counting towards the season? I saw that because I was like, oh, why wouldn't you just play? However many games you play, it doesn't really matter outside of this tournament, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like this tournament, playing it and having the results of it add towards the season, it just adds more weight to a result if a COVID situation comes up. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a bit of a security blanket where, like, okay, we only had the first 5 rounds. Let's say something COVID happens terrible after the tournament. Well, we only had those first 5 rounds, but we've had this tournament. We add it together. We're still kind of driving towards a result. I felt it was for that reason, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the NBL's insurance policy
for sure,
about having an actual a meaningful result on the season. Mm. So, which is smart, you know, it's good thinking. And the fact that I got to give Kesselman credit, the fact that they did get government money put into this. I mean, if you try and get government money put into NBL basketball a few years ago, you would have been laughed out of the minister's office.
It makes things happen, man. I got time for Larry Kesselman.
Indeed. Yeah.
Who would have thought you'd have a mid-season tournament, 36 games over a couple of weeks? It's a mental idea, and he gets stuff over the line. I got to hand it to him.
Yeah, and I do like the way, and because it's a league owned by a single dude, essentially, you come up with an idea, and they're like, okay, let's do it. Like, you don't have to run it through the clubs and get committee endorsements and all that kind of jazz. It's just like, yeah, it's a good idea. Let's do it.
There you heard it first, okay? Dictatorships work, okay? You just need a benevolent dictatorship. It's what we have. It's what the NBL has, and it's great. I for one, love our generous leader.
This and, is how we genuflect towards Leryl Kesselman.
This is I love this idea. I had a couple of people texting back and forth. Like, oh, I don't know. It's a bit hammy, a bit hockey. I was like, no, this is great. The NBA is trying to do something like this. They want an in tournament. In-season tournament, and the NBL's beat him to it. Just needed an Elam to just really wet my beak. Beak's wet. It's not drenched.
It was so close. And I reckon even the players would have liked it. Like,
are you kidding me? We'll do this next week. I think we've done it with the TBT, but who would be the ultimate NBL TBT closer? Oh, it's just such a broadcast piece. Anyway, no, we're not going to do this. People hate when we talk about Elam.
Yeah, I know.
Anything else on this NBL Cup? Are you happy to let it
I want to know. FIBA window. That's the big question mark. So I think the FIBA window coincides with it. So does that mean we're going to get – well, we'll have to have some of the players removed from the tournament. I think they go and play up in the brawling Filipinos, I think, is where they're heading. Good. So they might not get back alive.
No, stop. Well, they'll come back with the decals from the court that they ripped off the floor.
Daniel Kickett make the team?
It'd be interesting to see what team they play. It all depends on who they're playing and where they're at. I mean, if they're just sort of – would it be friendlies up there or what qualifies for something? Send some Emus team. Send an under-20s outfit. Who cares?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's good point.
If they're not really graded, just go for it. Have fun.
An all DP team. Just send all the development players. Weird.
Still be good, and then maybe a few other upper list guys. But let's jump on from the cup. We're going to talk about the King Star versus Wildcat fans. Let's talk about Cooks quickly. Did you watch that game? Did you see the injury or highlights?
I saw the highlight of the injury. It looked like one of those things that happens on a basketball court fairly often, where you kind of step on somebody's foot and you do an ankle or. It sounds like it was a calf. They said, which is I would have thought it would be an ankle ligament, but. Not really.
I'll say this much: 4 to 6 months. That's the whole season, isn't it? That's it. That's done.
Yeah, it includes the big show. So,
I just feel really bad for him. This is now 2 years in a row, and also you start getting that reputation of, made of tinfoil, injury.
Yep.
It's a bad rap to have, and fairly or unfairly, this is now two major injuries in 2 years, or probably just under.
Yeah. It buggers up their team, doesn't it? Really hurts.
And am I right in saying their injury replacement can't be an import?
I think you are correct.
I mean, because I just think...
Why could it not be?
If there's import... Here's the thing, because I look at Deshaun Taylor, he was Kevin Lish's injury replacement, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't have three imports at the time. He was their third import. They had Tate and Casper Ware, and then they got him.
So they've got two imports now, don't they?
They've got two.
Sorry, I was thinking they were going with one.
But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if injury replacement exempts them from getting an import. No,
they wouldn't be able to get an import.
Jay Crockett was another injury replacement for Ty Wesley, but he was an import as well at that time.
Yeah.
So I think it has to be a local. It's going to be OBJ. He's training with him.
Yep.
It's going to be with the big name thrown around of like, ooh, could be Jonah
Bolden.
Clubs don't want him, apparently. That's what I heard from one insider.
Well, look, clearly it's stacking up so far. So until somebody signs him, that viewpoint is 100%.
You're only as good as your last match, and he hasn't signed anywhere. But I want to just say this tweet. This is from Bobby Marks, who's an NBA guy. The NBA season will start with 495 out of 510 roster spots filled. So there's still 15 spots out there. Four of the open roster spots cannot be filled right now because of the hard cap. So they'll be looking to do something later on. The other teams, Charlotte, Minnesota, New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio Spurs, and Utah, they can all sign a player. And then a couple of teams have two ways available, which is, I believe, Bolden's still eligible for. Detroit, Golden State Warriors, Phoenix, Portland, Sacramento. I don't know if Bolden's actually eligible for two ways anymore. I think he might be, but I mean, there are 15 spots. Let's call that 11. Yeah. Because I don't like your odds. you're talking about making the best league with only 11 spots left. Not looking good for
Joe. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. So if he signs it, I'd be amazed if he shows up in Sydney though.
I would be, my jaw would be on the floor.
So I put the question out today on Twitter is, do they replace, they try and replace Cooks with Kwani? What's he doing these days?
We like talk about revolving door in and out, like high five, low five on the backside.
I reckon Kwani's just like having a quiet chuckle to himself. Is he?
The other one is Lucas Walker. I text him today. I was like, hey, take the phone off silent, buddy. You're getting a call up. But it'll be OBJ. He makes sense, positional. But looking at that.
I'll throw one more. I've just had a brainstorm. Oh, yeah. I've just had it. Okay. Greg Hire.
Oh. Jeez, he's just like Sally's all clear. He's just everybody's solution to any roster.
Mate, I've got this.
He's not going out of Perth. Stop it.
Why not? Why not? He's mates with Adam Ford.
Couldn't. He's chained to the floor of the RAC Arena. No, he's in commentary now. And actually, by the by, he did a pretty good job.
He's playing SBL. So he's got Tom Jervis to play with him. They're playing SBL. But he's also stated that he's still keen on getting into the 3x3, Australian team. You need to showcase yourself. You need to show you still got it.
Wow.
That the Sydney Kings need a rebound. They don't need a scorer. They need a rebounder. What does Greg Hire do?
I actually think they're in real trouble. Let's talk about them now. With Cooks gone, you can't replace him. If they're not replacing him with an import, he was their best local. Am I right?
Unless you want to count. Newell's.
I don't know.
It's a fair argument to make. Certainly,
And now he's gone. I think this rocks their team.
It does.
I don't know. It's the worst possible thing that could happen. An import injury, well, you know how you do that. But this local thing, it's so late in the piece, it guts their team.
Yeah. I guess they're going to have to really hope that Didi has really improved.
Yeah, big time. And then the other one is like Jordan Hunter. Like I saw him in the preseason, still really young, takes bigs until their mid to late 20s before they really come along, and he looks like he's on that trajectory.
Yeah.
For me anyway.
He sort of reminds me of Angus Brandt when
Brandt's first. I've heard that comparison before, and Brandt took a while to come along. And,
yep.
It'll be the same. I like him, I think, but he's just going to take time.
Yep.
But yeah, Sydney, ouch.
Yeah, they've taken their lumps.
Speaking of taking lumps and Sydney and so forth, let's talk about this Kings staff versus the Wildcat fans. And in particular, James's surname, how do you pronounce it?
I say Falero.
You've met him in person or no?
I have met him a couple of times in person. Yep.
I've chatted to him. It seems nice enough. What happened? It's just bizarre from top to bottom, isn't it? Give me your synopsis or slight, what do you call it? Yeah, just your description.
Well, this is kind of, I felt like I was having to try and, I looked at it, I was like, what's going on here? I'm trying to deconstruct a Twitter conversation, but it didn't include a full thread and somebody had deleted elements, but there were screen captures. And it was like, there were sort of accusations put in a backhanded kind of way about how people undertake their jobs. Yep. And I think that there was attempted kind of sarcasm in there, but you know, the internet's hard to sometimes get sarcasm.
Twitter does not know sarcasm.
Yeah. No. And I think, I think there's probably overreaction anyway. Mm-hmm. So it led to block people getting blocked and, man, I hope you've done a better job of diving.
You've brought the cutlery out. I'll put some food on the plate, but I think that, it was just bizarre. So to take it back for people, if you don't have Twitter, by the way, if you don't have Twitter, like you already kicked the goal. Merry Christmas.
I got off Twitter and now I'm back in it.
I know.
I deleted my original Twitter account from 2007 and now I've got this second one. It's going down the same sinkhole.
There's a comedian by the name of James Acaster. He's got a really good Netflix special and he was sort of struggling with some mental health stuff and he quit Twitter and everyone's like, oh, you know, what's wrong? He's quit Twitter. Is he okay? Is he suicidal? And all this. He goes, no, actually what I did was I got rid of Twitter because it's an objectively bad thing and I stopped doing it. And when you hear that, you're like, oh yeah, it is objectively bad for your soul, and he got rid of it. But anyway, I actually quite enjoy Twitter. Anyway, this Kings Wildcat thing. So it's bizarre top to bottom. So to take it all back, Perth are contemplating calling off this preseason game against the Hawks after the Northern Beaches COVID cluster, right?
Yep.
It starts straight away. And it starts off a news report. And again, we spoke about this with the Isaiah Carter thing. Start off with a report, not from the clubs, not from the NBL, from a report. Straight away, the Kings jump on the front foot. Chris Pongras, I think, was the first. He puts out a thing that's like The Office with Michael Scott, how the tables have turned, saying that, you know, Perth are kind of hypocritical for wanting to play on in the finals, but not doing it anyway. Then Paul Smith puts out a tweet that was very sort of grandiose and sweeping, like, history is a cruel judge, you know, Vidi Vidi Vici types of stuff. Wow. And then King's PR put out, that is the definition of irony and a gif. Like, it was all really childish sort of stuff. Made me laugh. I was just the whole time thinking, what and why? What am I looking at? And then what's funny is Perth end up playing the game. So I don't even get the message anymore. Like, because Sydney called off the finals, right?
Yes.
They quit halfway through, which they have their reasons for. And you know what? They help you sleep at night, whatever. And then they're like, oh, Perth. And then, but Perth went through with the game. They thought for a while.
Yeah. I thought they were waiting on medical advice. They spoke with the chief medical officer of WA government or whatever. And both teams, I think, had a meeting with them and talked it through, like, gentlemen, and figured out, all right, well, based on advice, we both come to an agreement that we'll continue to play.
And it was in doubt for a while, but a man's allowed to sit and thought. We talked about this stuff before. So I don't know what, like, the Kings would have had a right to say all that stuff. I think Bogut even came out and said, like, oh, Kettle Black, all this sort of stuff. And listen, there would have been a case. I mean, maybe you can make a case for that sort of childishness after the Wildcats have not played the game, but you can't, like, chastise them for something they haven't done. I just found it richly bizarre. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I feel like there's still a lot of sensitivity and upset about all of that situation. And it's like, you brought it up on yourselves. You guys made the decision not to play. Yeah. Own it. Like, you keep telling us, oh, it was the right decision and we had to consider family and all that kind of stuff. We had people to
which
get
we totally understand. I don't agree with it. I totally understand
then
it. Yeah.
Shut the F up next time. Like, just enough. The decision isn't made. Move on. Stop.
And maybe, and even then, I agree with you totally, but also, like, wait until your enemy has, like, stepped in the trap first. I just found it so funny. It's like, you just, it's like, and again, like, Olga Newlick, Aussie Woj was more like Aussie Splooge. He blew his own on this thing. Sorry to be crass, but, like, they played the game. I don't get, like, this, oh, the game's on, it's not on, it's on. Just wait.
Yeah.
Wait until you can officially and, you know, report with 100% confidence or thereabouts that, like, this is what's happening. It was just so bizarre the whole afternoon. But what I also found strange was, and I've been criticized for having a sort of relaxed attitude toward COVID-19. Listen, I've got a sense of humor that is dark. It's dark. Yes. It's the inside of a coffin on a moonless night. I don't pretend not to. But I did find it a little crass from the Kings. I mean, immediately weaponizing, you know, the case number is sort of between 30 and 50 people who've got COVID, weaponizing that to barb the Perth Wildcats over a decision from what, April?
Yeah.
And again, in a game that eventually went forward, I just thought it was crass.
And never mind the fact that we're talking a preseason scratch match compared with the grand final series of the National League.
It's not like it hadn't begun. Oh, well. Secondly, like, is this a business decision or an emotional decision with the Kings? And I think it's emotional. You'd agree with me, like, how does this make good business sense? Why is this funny? Why are we doing this? And I'm not sort of drawing the line of, like, oh, this is unprofessional from a club. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, does the joke justify what's going on? Like, COVID is involved, and coming from me, like, people are a little touchy about COVID. You don't want to make jokes about COVID, or pithy comments. I never made a joke, but pithy comments. So I just thought it was weird.
I just think rivalries are best when there are rivalries on the court. Like, I remember back in the day, you had the Perth Adelaide rivalry, and that was excellent because the players were into it. You know, it was like there was season in, season out. They went at each other, and one team would win, then the other would win, and it was all on the court. This is like the battle of management teams.
Very postmodern, very Y2K.
Yeah,
rivalry. Yeah,
just doesn't make a lot of sense. And we haven't even got to the point of this Twitter argy-bargy.
Where
James gets blocked because he asked something about the media manager.
We'll get to that.
I'm jumping
ahead. No, you're right. No, no problem. But I just want to say with this, like, it seems to me like have you watched Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares?
Yeah.
And you know when every time he goes to a and what's always the problem? It's a family squabble. They've bought a business and the squabble's playing out in the business. I kind of feel like this is the same thing with the Kings. Like Jack Bendit doesn't have this mindset. This is not a family. It is a business. The Perth Wildcats is a business. We do business here.
Yep.
Whereas the Kings, it's more insular. It's more fragile like that. They're very kind of, we have our team and we protect each other. It's like, are you thinking business or are you thinking family? And I think that's where their decision-making on this one sort of fell apart a little bit. I will say as well, the sort of gotcha, like rile you up, rock the boat mentality. This is clearly a hangover from the Andrew Bogut era. This is who, he would love that sort of stuff. And the difference was he was quite good at it and had the money and the bravado and the thing. The Kings on their own don't quite have that. They don't pull it off as well. But the other thing I'll say as well is like, Bogut is gone. Like that era kind of, it was fun. He was very, pork chop, ha ha. He's gone. You don't have that standing to do that anymore, and the real gotcha stuff, it just doesn't play as well, and certainly didn't play as well in this instance. And he's not just gone from the team, but he's also gone from the city. Like, he's not even around. I compare it to, like, and I think Paul Smith even kind of tagged Bogut in, like, with James.
Yeah, which struck, which is sort of a bit of a tone.
Like sick of the dogs on him. It's just strange. Mm. And I compare it to, and this is an unfavorable comparison, but I'm going to do it anyway. Have you seen Happy Gilmore?
Oh, yes.
You know when Shooter McGavin pays that guy, like jackass, he pays that guy to disturb the world. And then he's kind of like, at the end, he's paying him off. He's like, all right, Shooter, go to the Red Lobster. He's like, I can't. And he's like, hey, Shooter, you said we're going to be friends. He's like, oh, we are. And that's Bogut walking away. He's like, all right. Paul Smith's like, all right, Bogut, I'll be around the Lobster if you change your mind. Like, desperate to be this guy's friend, like, you left. It's over. Your team is now Casper Ware, Brad Newley, Cooks. They're your guys now. Bogut.
Yep.
And seemingly has reneged on that ownership offer as well. So,
that's an interesting
thing. I've spoken too much. Let's jump into the James Valeria. By the way, beautiful surname.
Oh, Valeria. Yeah. It's only bettered by the man's hair, I have to admit. Oh, like, that's how you spot James at a Wildcats game, because his glorious hair just
looks like he's wearing one of those crowns,
Sensational.
You go. What was your take on this? Describe it as best you can, firstly.
I'm trying to remember because I don't keep these in my brain very well. I look at them and I think, I just remember my interpretation of it was James had said something about, oh, that's typical. This is typical of what you would expect given the circumstances. And I think he was referring to the social media manager of the Kings, who was previously social media manager of another organization.
United, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it might have, I'm not even sure what the, I think I figured it out at the time, but I honestly can't remember. I feel like I need James here to explain it to me.
I reached out to James and Renee because I was like, I just need to understand what's going on.
Okay, please help me out.
Basically, I don't get it. So
I'm sorry. I feel like an old man here.
No, it's quite all right. I'm paraphrasing James's words as best I can, and I hope I'm doing him justice. But he's gone online. You really can see it for yourself on there if you want to see. But essentially what he was saying was like, you just wouldn't see this from the other clubs. And he was kind of actually referring to a slight or an interaction that I had in the past that was unpleasant. I'm being as broad as I can because I really don't want to speak for people. They can do it themselves. But he was kind of feeling like, this doesn't surprise me. I've had this interaction in the past. That was really what it was.
Yeah.
I don't think it was sort of like, this person should be fired. This person should be anything. Because I've spoken to James online. I don't know James. I've never met him, never spoken to him in person, just in messages. But in all my interactions with him, he's a diehard fan. But always been respectful, never aggressive, never curses, never racist or sexist, he's passionate, maybe a bit snarky on occasion, but for the most part, really pleasant.
Yeah.
And you've met him in person, so
yeah, I support that. Everything I've seen of him, you know, I don't know him. I've just spoken to him a few times, but yeah, he seems like a pretty fun guy who's just into his sport. And aren't we all?
I think as far as the PR Purple to Kings, I've spoken with her as well. It's only again through email, never met in person. Actually, maybe met in person, but only in passing. She seems nice as well. She's passionate and protective of her team, and it's in her charge. That is her job. Have I, to lay my cards on the table, have I asked for interviews and got turned down? Yes. But then am I, you know, hurt by that? No, because they, you know, the Kings have a responsibility to themselves and their staff and their team. They don't have any responsibility to me or loyalty to me. When they said, no, I didn't take that personally, that's, you know, they're protecting their interest. I've got a few notes here, but yeah. So James and Renee took offense to the tweets from the Kings and said the PR person is kind of dropping the ball. Do you think that's too personal attack from them? To highlight something like that.
I don't think, it's having a go about somebody, how they do their job. I don't think it's a personal attack. It's like, oh, you know, you could have done better with that one. I mean,
and it was tasteful enough. There was nothing sexist. There was no offensive. Rude or aggressive.
No.
I hope I'm seeing that right. Like, I don't want to anger people and say, oh, it was aggressive. I read it as best I could. I just didn't see the malice in it at all.
No, I was just like, it read to me almost like, oh, you know, like that would be right. It's kind of like the way I read it. Just, oh, you know, as you'd expect.
I feel kind of bad from getting the sort of the name and shame treatment and the stuff put up. And yeah, when you put that context on it, you know, if I were to take a tweet of yours and go put it up and go, look at this, like it just straight, it's like people just, you just get a knee jerk reaction to like, oh, that's so me. Like you're embedding the context rather than just letting it kind of play out. I think, not that it's anyone's Twitter account. They can do whatever they want, but yeah, I did find it a little, I just found it really unnecessary and unbecoming, and just bizarre. As I said a couple of times now, I will say, and this is where, when we talk about dropping the ball as a PR person and things, the NBL fan, like if you're really getting to know this fan, and I'm slowly getting to know it over the 2 years I've done the podcast, you know, it's a pretty snarky sort of fan base. You know, it's a bit snarky, a bit dismissive, suspicious, you know, a little uninclusive. Like the NBL is not a pub sport. You know, you go to the cricket pub, like it's an open circle. It's, if you're semi-interested, you're involved. It's not like that. It's a fan base that has had to really justify to itself and others being a fan. And that's who you're dealing with. And that's what happens. That's the sort of culture that emerges when, you know, it's Australia's sixth most domestic product below, you know, a lot of sports. So this sort of like jibe culture that's coming out of like poking fun in that on Twitter as well, like it's such a, you do it on court, do it in newspapers, you know, do it a bit more, but to do it on Twitter, like it's just, it's gonna get negative reactions, especially from an NBL fan base. So I don't like the strategy. I don't like that social media strategy at all. It's a misunderstanding of their customer, I think.
I think like you say, the NBL doesn't have a huge following. It's, you know, we're like a fan of which I'm one of them. You mentioned that you're a fan of basketball and everybody's always a bit like, ugh, you know, why? Mm. You know, and if you like basketball more than Aussie rules, when then you're practically un-Australian. There is a level of like defensiveness and a need to sort of assert yourself when you have the opportunity, because it's like you're trying to show this sport. And I just think that you don't want to ruin fans are what make the game work, I think. Yeah. And you got to like prioritize the fans. I don't know if I'm talking in circles here, but
No, you're making sense. I think with the strategy I'd take with the NBL anyways, first of all, place it within the marketplace. Like, all right, you know, show a guy in cricket pads taking them off and AFL's over, now it's NBL time. You know, like place it within these sports. Like, where does it sit? You know, basketball should be everyone's second favorite sport. That's Mark Wroblewski. But anyway, so I just feel like that's the sort of, and to rile up this fan base, you know, it's a fan base that's, it's not at the pub, it's watching it on a laptop or just come from wrestling and watched it. You know, you've got a passion there, and they're not. I don't know. This is odd from the Kings, but I will say as well, like, was it precious from the PR person to sort of put up screenshots and name shames? I would say that being called out for your job in 2020 is like raindrops. Like it happens in everyone's getting called out. Like if you do a bad job anywhere, we're talking the moment a person steps out of a cab or an Uber, they're immediately, you're rated straight away. Mm. How is your ride with such and such? 1 star, 5 stars? Any waiter is getting, oh, I had horrible service from Rebecca on TripAdvisor, you know, she should be name and check. Like if you're sort of there like, oh, how could I be called out for my gig in 2020? I don't know what to tell you. Life's cruel. No one said it wasn't, but that's just how it is. That's another thing I wanted to say.
Yeah. Remember the customer. Where's the money coming from?
We've spoken now for about 20 minutes about this, and we're talking about tweets and Twitter. I know. And what I think is both really, really achingly sad about that, we already know what's achingly sad about that, but what's good about it is this is how organic the NBL is. You can have two super fans in Perth talking with the team and it be somewhat newsworthy within the sport. Like that's how base level. So if people are listening and like, oh, I'm a bit wishy-washy about the NBL, like, no, you can get in. It's kind of like being an explorer hundreds of years ago. Like there's uncharted territory you can take it in. And, and this is such an instance. But done with that.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's talk some more.
We've given that way
positive stuff. Yeah. We love everybody still.
Yeah, everybody's great. You're doing a great job, and super fans, you're fantastic. Let's talk about the retired jerseys. Jerseys that are retired, jerseys that could be retired. So Andrew sent me a text a couple of weeks ago saying, let's look into this. Players that should have their jerseys retired that don't. Andrew, take it away.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, I should say this is not really my idea. A mate of mine reached out to me and said, look, I've been thinking about retired numbers. And so Jono, who raised this as an issue, thank you for bringing it up. Jono, good on you, mate. Jono. He's a loyal listener. Good bloke. Now, sort of having a look. So this all, I guess this all came about because we were talking about the number 4 with the Wildcats. Jono was saying, well, that's all well and good that you've got this Western Australian number now with the Wildcats, but it also means that it can't be retired. So Eric Watterson, Greg Hire, whoever's, you know, Luke Travers, they can't actually have a retired number.
Do they have to wear it as well? That's the thing. What if you want to wear number 4?
I would hate to wear number 4. I think it's a terrible number. I don't know. But I think that's what they're trying to get at. It's bestowed upon you. So to me, it's almost like it's an honorific. It's like if you're knighted by the Queen of England, you take it. You just, that is your role. I guess at the point. But then what we got onto the question of what other numbers are there that should be retired but perhaps aren't? And also, where are the next retired players coming from? Because it did seem they went through a phase there where lots of numbers were getting retired, and it certainly seems to have slowed down now, which is probably a good thing because you'll run out of numbers.
Yeah, you want to keep it prestigious.
But, I just thought it was an interesting discussion. I thought, let's
do it.
Let's do it. Let's
start with Perth because we spoke about them.
Yep.
Just quickly, the retired, well, not numbers. I've just got the players that are retired, but they've got Mike Ellis retired, James Crawford, Scott Fenton, Ricky Grace, Andrew Vlahov, Scott Fisher.
Yep.
That's it. I've got here thoughts, and I'm sure we're going to mirror one another. Here are the conversational ones. Sean Redditch, Kevin Lish, Damian Martin.
Oh, interesting. You've got one that we've got a bit of a variation there. I also have Sean Redditch. He's won the club MVP a million times, and he probably should really be up there. Damian Martin, well,
yeah, given
it'll happen. Yep. The one that I had was Cal Bruton.
Yeah, you know, is he going in as a player, or how many seasons did he play with the Wildcats?
He was there. He arrived in 87.
Right before 91, or was he a player coach at that point?
It was 1990 where they had the big blow up, and sort of he got booted for in favor of Alan Black, Alan Black got booted in favor of him. Getting it all mixed up in my head.
That's right.
Was a while ago now. I can't remember. Then it was the next season or something. He got he got bumped for Murray Arnold. So yeah, he wasn't there a long time, but for me, it's like he was a bit of everything at that club and he turned it around. And I think if you're looking at numbers as recognition of contribution to a club, like he actually set the table for everything that came after.
I agree.
And look, he's no angel. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, right. You know, he's not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination, but I still think you need to respect what he did. So I'd have Cal up there.
I wouldn't have Sean Redditch.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I really good, like, because I look at retired numbers more like you got to rise above the club. I know there's a lot of numbers given for the, like, Scott Fenton is one who, you know, died in a car crash and was like club guy and, you know, was retired for that reason, which makes sense.
Yep.
But Sean Redditch, I'm like, was he like he was a good player in the NBL, but never an MVP. You know, I kind of see that as like, that kind of has to be a, not a definite need to get retired, but pretty high up. And he was a good player, a really good player, but I never saw him as like a really, I never saw him in really an MVP conversation for the league. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably more play at
the time when the talent was low and great story, like cut by the Breakers, Wildcats, da, da, da. But no, I'd have Kevin Lish retired over Redditch.
Wow. Well, yeah. I think Redditch held the team together at that time when it was at a bit of a low ebb. And I think he really created a culture that they could build off again and a work ethic. So, you know, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. That's true.
But you're right. He was not, he was very good in the era of players that the league had at that point, but he wasn't.
And that was the work. He was the best player on the Wildcats in their worst era.
Yep.
Arguably.
Yep.
So
Kevin Lynch, I think just not enough time.
I disagree. That's why I think time is relative. And in the NBL, like three seasons or however, I'm saying three seasons, if you'd play three really good seasons with the team, I feel like that's almost enough in the NBL. 3 years in the NBL is like eight with an NBA team. You know? It's a short life cycle in the NBL.
Fair enough. So, yeah, okay. So that's Perth.
I'll ask you this quickly, though.
Yeah.
Cotton retires tomorrow. He just goes, oh, I can't do it anymore. I've lost my legs. I don't
know. Yep.
Does his number gets retired?
No.
Get out of here. Stop.
No. He's got, I need a body of work. Like, I appreciate Bryce Cotton for everything he's done, but to get your number hanging up, you got to die or you've got to commit multiple seasons, except if you're Cal Bruton.
I just think he's done, his resume is better than all those guys we've already named, almost. MVP, finals MVP, multiple chips. Like, let's say he continues to play for the Wildcats for another 10 years, but doesn't do shit, doesn't win another MVP, they don't win a title.
Yep.
Does he get retired then?
Yep, yep.
See, that's weird. I don't get that. Anyway, agree to disagree. Adelaide 36ers, they've got retired. Daryl Pearce, Brett Maher, Al Green, Mark Davis. No complaints there or even.
Yep.
I want to throw out a couple, two names at you.
Yep.
We'll start with Darnell Mee.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking body of work. He was there for a while, kind of jumped between then Illawarra and Cairns.
Yeah. I think that's what undoes him. I think the fact that he moved on to other clubs sort of.
See, again, I'd hang him up. I think in the NBL, because there's that many teams that fold and play, you kind of take ownership of the guy and they would kind of take on his history at Illawarra and Cairns a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
But his best years were at Adelaide.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have very different interpretations of how we tie these things, but yeah, but he was certainly a defensive player a whole bunch.
Yeah, he was a great player, great defensive player, but they're also just an all-round good all over the court. Yeah, he was excellent. So maybe I'm being overly harsh there, but it's only the multiple clubs things that throw me off. If he was an Adelaide 36er from go to woe, yeah, definitely.
I want to throw another name at you. Daniel Johnson, let's say he retires right now. He doesn't play the coming season.
Yep.
Done enough?
He's a funny one. I had him on my list of like future retirees question mark.
He's been in Adelaide a long while.
He's certainly put in the work and he's been their highest performer over that whole time. But
they made a grand final. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. Like, making a grand final as they're arguably one of their best player,
I'd probably put it up, but at the same time, I almost feel like he underachieved, that he could have been more.
Yeah, he's very, he's fly under the radar type guy. He's very stoic.
Yeah.
should that count against him in a retired jersey debate? I don't know. I mean, you look at those names that are already up there. Brett Maher.
Yeah.
Al Green. Mike Davis.
I mean, they're superstars.
They are superstars. Daniel Johnson?
Mm.
You put Daniel Johnson next to Mark Davis, really?
Yeah.
Tough conversation for me. I'm leaning no.
I'm leaning no now. Yeah, when you name the other name, the other players that are up there, I can't do it, DJ. Sorry, mate.
I played for the Boomers. Like, Daniel Johnson's never really been in that squad, and I think politics is more to play than anything.
Yep.
But still, just a name. Brisbane Bullets. They've got up Larry Sensdot, Leroy Loggins, Ron Radliff. And I've got a couple of thoughts for you. I thought this could be a place for Cal Bruton, but...
Well, yeah, he's a fair call.
Eric Walker.
Oh, he's like Voldemort, mate. You don't name him.
You shall not be named, but he only played like 2 years there, one at the start of his career, one towards the end.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be somewhere. He was a fantastic player.
He was great player. Great player.
Here's his home, you know. He's a West Sydney Razorback, and there no more.
Yeah, I know. So this, I think we were talking about this before. I think this almost brings into question the need for a league retired, sort of respected, recognized players. That's maybe not the Hall of Fame. Maybe it's different to that.
Hall of Honor.
But it's the Hall. Yeah, a Wall of Honor for all the players who played for clubs lost. Tomb of the Unknown Soldier kind of situation.
Yeah. Or just combine all the names, the Gold Coast Super Cat. Think about a cartoon from the 90s. Where it's like
the Roller Spectres.
The Roller Spectre-y. I'm forgetting, there's been so many. They're all just crammed in the doorway trying to get out. That would be fun.
We wouldn't have to worry about the Sydney Spirit. They've got no, they'd have no candidates.
God. Sydney Spirit, my gosh. But Brisbane, is there anyone I'm neglecting?
No, I don't think so.
Well, actually, I'll come back to my, because I've got my list of former MVPs without the honour and one who I thought.
Can I just say as well, the fact that you got this list, I tried to do this. It was hard work. And
Wikipedia.
Sorry?
It was Wikipedia.
Yeah, I know. That's it. You had to go page by page on Wikipedia. Yeah, and I didn't invest the time. I looked on the NBL thinking, surely they'll have this information. NBL, lift your game.
We were talking about this. Tap someone in the social media department. Darren Barker, some guys have been on the podcast. Great guys, really talented, really capable. This is an afternoon's work, creating a link to Hall of Fame or, you know, Wall of Honor, whatever it is. And you can do jerseys flapping and on After Effects, a few highlights. Oh,
yeah.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Brisbane, we'll come back to them when I talk about MVPs who haven't got the honor. Cairns Taipans, I've got one name up there. Aaron Grabeau.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Anyone that could be added to that list?
Oh, I think maybe Nate Jawai will be the one next.
Yep. I think he should. I think he's had a pretty good career. When we talk about clubman stuff, there's another name I want to throw at you when the Taipans are involved, but you want to hear the name? Or you
yeah, no, no, hit me with the name.
Mark Worthington.
Oh, and I'll see Mark Worthington and raise you and Alex Loughton.
Ooh, going together, good friends, hand in hand.
Couple of WA boys retired in Cairns.
What do you say? Like, because I guess when they went, do you take on the rest of their career? You sort of, you shoulder that burden of South Dragons, of, you know, Worthington's career,
yeah,
Perth and whatever else. Like, it's a small club.
Yeah, I think they both meant a lot to that club as well. So
let's say they played their whole career there. Think about all they did. Like, let's say Worthington won a championship and whatever.
Yep.
They make it in on the merits of their achievements.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. So. Yeah, let's give them. Cairns needs some more numbers if all they got is Grabau.
Hoist away. Illawarra Hawks. Chuck Harmison, Gordy McLeod, Glenn Saville, Matt Campbell, Melvin Thomas. It's got a very, like, very provincial is the word I want to use. Like, it's a small fraternity, like, very Illawarra painted all over this. Like, Matt Campbell just lived at that club. Glenn Saville, likewise.
Yep.
Gordy McLeod to an extent. Who am I neglecting?
Well, I mean, CJ Bruton had some good games there, but I don't think it was enough. And he did most of his best work at New Zealand.
Sydney,
of course, yeah. Who else? Nobody else really jumping to mind. The next guy maybe has Tim Conrad done enough?
That would be a like club. That would be in the Scott Fenton argument. Not obviously not the death thing, but just more like circumstances. Great club guy. I can't hoist that jersey and then put it up with the likes of, you know, Mark Davis, Al Green. Sorry, can't do it. Great guy.
I wouldn't either, but I just thought he sort of he's in that same mold as sort of Saville and Campbell, you know, sort of local guy
for sure,
but not
moving uptown. Sydney Kings, they don't have retired jerseys. They've got this wall of honor thing.
It's weird, isn't it?
I actually quite like the strategy though. I do quite like it.
It keeps the numbers in play, doesn't it? Is that basically the idea? They're recognizing people, but the numbers stay alive.
When it's a player, no, I see. Even if it's a player, I would still retire the number. No, I think I don't hate what they've done, like, because it allows you that little bit of wiggle room, but I would retire the number. Like, I'd have both.
Okay.
I'd have both. But anyway, they've got up there Shane Heal, Steve Carfino, Tim Morrissey, Jason Smith, Dean Utoff, Damien Keogh, Matt Dalton, Matthew Nielsen, CJ Bruton. I'll ask you this question. Of those players there, which ones of the numbers would you retire?
The one that jumped out at me is not being surprising that he's even up there. Who was the second name you read out?
Steve Carfino.
Yeah, Steve Carfino. Now, I know he means so much to Sydney, but he actually didn't play there a lot. You know?
3 years or something. Maybe, if that. So, his playing career was really short.
Yeah. I mean, it was wrecked by injury. He was a really good player, but, it's just interesting that he's a bit like Cal Bruton in Perth, I guess. Wasn't there long, but made a big impact. The question you're asking is what numbers would I retire?
I'll just go through. I'll tell you now. Like, I think Shane Heal, you put that 23 up there.
Yep.
Jason Smith.
Jason Smith's interesting as well because I still associate him with the Magic.
Yeah, right. That's fair enough.
I know he did a lot of his work in Sydney as well, but it's just that as an outsider, you know, it's like, and my memories of him are playing in that Magic uniform.
Melbourne. Toughy. Yeah. They still have Matt Nielsen, obviously, I think is a good one.
No brainer.
Are they neglecting anyone? I'll ask you this question. Are they neglecting anyone?
Have they got Dwayne McLean?
Nope.
Oh, they're neglecting him.
Yeah.
Sure. They got Liam Trimingham?
Nope.
Well, you know.
Those
guys are Sydney.
All of honor, yeah.
Like, that to me is what Sydney. That's when they were awesome. Is where they had those guys, you know?
Duncan.
Yeah, that was. I'm surprised. If you're gonna have a wall of honor, you need those dudes.
Yeah, especially with some of the guys that are, you know, like if Carfino's on there for his short time, like they were as exciting as him.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm gonna ask you this question: Andrew Bogut.
Oh,
he's going up. I can tell.
They love him.
I love the current staff and owner and Paul Smith just love this guy. It's going up. It is going up and it's going to be this thing and it's going to be so overwrought. It's going up. I'll ask you this though. There's two separate questions. Should it go up?
No.
Two seasons. MVP, Defense Player of the Year, and then the second year, whatever you want to call that.
No. And he moved like a Sulo bin, like he's not
in that second year. Yeah, no.
I respect him for coming back to the league. Like, don't get me wrong, but he's not jersey retirement level. I could just imagine the Kings presentation though. It would be full of highlights from him playing for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, good. It's gonna happen.
They would take credit for that.
It's gonna be something. They're going to put his name and number up there. It's gonna happen. I would bet. Big that happens. Yeah. No, he's not up there. Had one good year, MVP that year, okay, and then NBL second team. I refute that. Down to the ground. Are we forgetting any other names?
Not off the top of my head.
No, not by my count either. Melbourne United: Warwick Giddey, Ray Gordon, Andrew Gaze, Leonard Copeland, Dave Simmons, Mark Bradkey are up there. Are they neglecting anyone? I think they are big time.
Well, they're all Tigers, right? Now, are they just the Tigers or are they like, what Melbourne are they?
They're both. It's, they're United. they're everything. I actually, yeah, I think there's a huge omission here. Do you know who it is?
Anstey?
Chris Anstey. How is he not up there?
Yeah. He played, he coached.
He played, he coached. That was
for both organizations.
Both. I think it's a mockery that he's not up there.
Yeah. It's an outrage.
He was an MVP. They were on championships. He was the best player. He was fantastic.
And he legitimized the league as well. When he came
When he came back,
it was like the Bogut effect in that time.
Unfortunately, yeah, he didn't have Larry Kesselman as well doing it at simultaneously. He had the BA running into the ground, but
yeah,
he was fantastic.
So and he had to deal with Seamus McPeak.
He had it worse. So Anstey, this is the worst omission of the bunch.
Yeah.
Other than what our next team's done, unless you've got anyone else from Melbourne United.
Nope.
New Zealand Breakers.
Yeah.
CJ Bruton, Dylan Boucher, Paul Henare. I think there's a name off this list that we can agree on.
I've got one and one upcoming. So I've got to put Mika Vekona on there.
Oh, for sure.
And I know he lurched around from, he's played on a few different teams, but to me, he's still quintessentially a breaker. Yep. You know,
when he was at their best, they were at their best. Yeah, yep. they coincided, sure. Yep. His career's good. He's more of a club retirement, but yeah, I get it. Yeah, why not?
Is that the one you were thinking of or?
I got another one.
Another one. Oh.
No, I think Redditch, like that generation.
Not that little guard with the. The sharp shooting guard with the flowing hair. I can't remember his name. Played a lot of games. Who am I thinking?
Kirk Penny.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
He's got a vibe, doesn't he? He was fantastic. He was a really good player.
He was. How did I forget him? Shame on me.
I mean, how did they forget him? How is he not up there? Kirk Penny. He didn't play a huge amount of time there, a couple of years, kind of bounced around a lot of leagues, Kirk Penny.
Boy, yeah.
He played every man can, but he's put him up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other name I'm going to go at you, Cedric Jackson. And when they won championships, he was their best player. Jeez. Played a couple of years.
I feel like he ruined. I would have probably said yes if he did not come back and played in Illawarra.
I know, right?
That sort of ruined. Bad. Was it Melbourne? In Melbourne, then Illawarra, wasn't it? It was like Melbourne, both Illawarra stops were disasters. So I can't put him up.
Okay.
I just can't do it.
Fair enough.
But I tell you who will go up next for New Zealand. Do you know?
Don't tell me.
Well, who do you reckon? Yeah. Ultimate club man.
Club man. But again, not the like, if they didn't put him up, I'd be like, well, you know, he was never an MVP or anything.
You got to look beat. I think I'm going to call you out. You're getting too fixated on the quality of the player, not the quality of the person. I think that's, you know. You got to look beyond the stat line.
I didn't read a definition that was like, retired jerseys go to a person who .. There needs to be a definition on this. But I see your point. And yes, under your definition of why a jersey should be retired, I'd agree. Under the sort of like, has he done enough to stand up with the others? Debatable. I want to go through this list. This is a former MVPs who don't have the honor. And we kind of, there's a couple that fall into that category of they have nowhere to be hung.
Okay.
Phil Smyth. Yep. Rob Rose.
Oh,
how? Oh, he's Rob Rose. He's arguably in the best five of the NBL ever.
Yeah. That's tragic.
He only played that one year there, but I think they just take him on.
Who's that? 36ers?
Yeah, he only played one year there, but.
Or Taipans? Did he play in Taipans? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, at the end, yeah. When he was over 40. He's got to go somewhere. But anyway, Derek Rucker, we spoke about Chris Anstey. Sam McKinnon was one who was an MVP with the Bullets, who isn't retired. Obviously, Southeast Melbourne's probably where we all remember him.
Yep.
But did win an MVP at Brisbane, pretty sure, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Up there, like Brisbane.
Townsville. Townsville's where he did his best work.
Townsville's where he did his work as well.
Yep.
Kirk Penny, Cedric Jackson. I got a funny name for you, and this is going to be shut down, but I want to say it anyway. Was an MVP, Jerome Randall. Played a couple of years with Adelaide. No, ridiculous. No.
Was he really an MVP of the league?
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Kevin Lish, we spoke about. Mark Worthington. And then I've got Bryce Cotton and Bogut, they're obviously going up. Yeah. It'd be kind of cool to see Bogut. Let's say Cotton just continues his form and his jersey's retired before he retires. I think that'd be really cool.
What does he wear? Just a blank panel?
He's obviously allowed to use it with an astronaut. One name. This name, it's another name that shall not be spoken. But Adelaide need to do the right thing. Do you know who I'm going to say? Not a player. Well, not known as a player.
No, Joey Wright.
Joey Wright. You do when the future is unclear, all you can do is the next right thing. And the next right thing is to retire Joey Wright in some way. This guy's won. He's the best coach in the NBL other than Gorgeous.
Yeah, so you say. I can't disagree. I'm not a big Joey Wright fan. No.
Look at the numbers. He's won championships.
I can't deny the numbers. Yeah, I think he just rubs me the wrong way.
But his resume is good enough to be retired.
Sorry, I was getting a little personal there.
He's not the okay. He doesn't get up on the clubman grounds. But
no, look, he's and the fact that he stayed with them through thick and thin. Like he could have walked out that door a number of times and didn't.
They need to. Yeah, it was a bad ending. Hey,
yep.
Just because you have a bad breakup doesn't mean you didn't love someone. And I think that I can feel Joey Wright fading already. It's like Future Part 2. He's fading. And it's really, really unfair. Really, really unkind. And someone has to stop that.
I'll agree with it if the retirement, you know, thing, it's not a replica jersey. I want it to be like a replica sweater vest.
That's fair enough. With a pair of spectacles on there. Well, they just hoist up specs. Yeah, Joey Wright. I'm hoping to get in touch with Joey in the future and have the chats. But he's just a guy who's just fading. He will disappear from the NBL. You won't hear about him.
He dedicated so much of his life to the NBL, though. You got to give him as a player and a coach. You know,
player and coach, and at a basement level, I feel like he's been really he'd have a taste in his mouth. If you can't already tell.
Yeah.
Sad. Anything else on this debate?
Have we missed anybody? I don't think so. It's a fun one. If you've got ideas that we haven't, let us know. All the normal places. Twitter.
Twitter. At NBL Pocket. At what? Kenyon?
Andrew Kenyon. Yeah, Kenyon is the one I gave up. So I'm just at Andrew Kenyon now. It's like it doesn't roll off the tongue quite as easily.
It works. Works for this. That's it. I hope everyone has fun. I will quickly mention, if you enjoyed the podcast, Patreon. If you want to buy a book for Christmas, you won't get it before Christmas, but if you like the idea of having one in transit for Christmas, Booktopia in the link. If you want to buy a copy of Marvelous, the Brett Maher story, they are selling. Body sent me a box of 20 some. There's not 20 anymore. It's down below. There'd probably be about 8 left, I guess. Signed by Brett Maher in mint condition. I think it's $30.
Look,
that's postage.
Tis the season, right? Give a gift. Give Joe some money. Like, let Brett Maher feed his kids. Yeah, you know, like, do. Let's
Brett Maher's not getting any of the money.
Okay. Well, subscribe to Patreon, you know?
Patreon, all those usual places that where you can surrender your cash would be most appreciated. I do see the numbers of how many people listen to this, and it is much greater than the number of Patreon subscribers. But anyway,
well, you know, Christmas, ding ding, give a gift.
Time for giving, and we're rambling. Let's stop giving and start taking some more. Andrew, it was a pleasure.
Merry Christmas, Joe.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. We probably won't do another one. Yeah, so Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Really do have a good time. And to you, Andrew, and to everyone listening, for sure.
Ho, ho, ho.